In the Bart Fireside Studio, it's Kevin Cohen.
All right, 6 minutes after 5 o'clock, welcome back in on The Point. I want to go right to our Groucho's Deli hotline. I want to welcome into the program Mr. Bill Maher, who's going to be coming to town and visiting with us here in Columbia at the Township Auditorium. He'll be on board Sunday evening, 8 o'clock, and I know a lot of folks looking forward to the show. We want to welcome him into The Point. Bill, good afternoon, and thank you for making time for us. It's a privilege to have you on.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love when folks come to. You're going to enjoy the venue, too. The Township has been around Columbia forever. It's a beautiful venue, and it's got great aesthetics and great acoustics, and I think you're going to enjoy the crowd. I know a lot of folks have told me they're headed to your show on Sunday, so looking forward to that.
It's my 40th anniversary of playing your town. I played there first in 1983. There was a comedy club there.
That's pretty cool. And I know you've done stand-up, and I know I want to ask you about that before we're done today. But, you know, having done really everything you've done, you tackle everybody, you go after everybody, things like that. It's a lot of fun to listen to you because you pretty much tick everybody off, which is I guess, if you're ticking everybody off, you know you're doing something right.
I agree. And, you know, what I love about performing these days is, unlike sometimes in the past, I get a very mixed crowd. I'm talking about politically mixed, which is kind of hard to do these days in America because everybody's in their own silos. Everybody has their own tribes. Everybody has their own media centers that they listen to. They don't really let other voices into what they already believe. They just want to have reconfirmed what they already think. And it's fantastic to be able to perform to people who are sitting possibly next to someone who you absolutely don't agree with, and we're all laughing together. The liberals are laughing, excuse me, at the things that I'm making fun of in their own tribe. The identity politics, the victim culture, the oversensitivity, the cancel culture, all that nonsense, the forced conformity, the hostility to free speech, the pointless self-loathing among white people that doesn't make anybody's lives better, the forcing of complex ideas on children that isn't appropriate. They can laugh at that. And the conservatives can laugh at all this stuff I do about the Republicans and Trump. And at the end of the day, we all sat in the same room and we all laughed together and we realized that there's plenty of crazy on both sides. And that's what has to happen in America, I think, on a larger scale, because, you know, we just can't keep devolving into this place where we're going into two separate camps that hate each other.
You know, we got 330 million people in this country, and it's kind of crazy to me. The best we can do is Donald Trump and Joe Biden for 2024. Do you bang your head against the wall when you think about things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is on the same page. Like, okay, how can this be? How can we have this rerun of the thing we didn't like the first time? And yet we all know inevitably it's going to happen. I mean, it's not going to be Vivek Ramaswamy and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That's not going to be who you're going to have to choose between Donald Trump and Biden. And look, I don't think it's much of a choice. I'm not a giant Biden fan. I think he's done okay. Do I love everything? No. But against Trump, I would vote for Biden's head in a jar of blue liquid.
So I don't need to ask you much about your opinion in terms of how you feel about Donald Trump. Are you in shock or surprised at all, or have we devolved to the point, Bill, where it's not even surprising you anymore that we're talking about the leading candidate for the Republican nomination by far, and the guy's already got four indictments and counting and is facing, you know, 500 years in jail if he were convicted? I mean, does it even surprise you anymore?
Well, it surprised me. I was the only one for years, before even he won the first time, who was saying, this man will never concede an election. And everybody was laughing at me. I would have Democrat after Democrat politician on the show, and I would say that. He's not going to give up the office. And they would, oh, Bill, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened? Exactly, that's what happened. He still hasn't conceded that election. That's what shocks me, is that people don't understand that very fundamental part of this American experiment we have. There's one thing we did that other nations, so many other nations, always had a hard time doing, which is the peaceful transfer of power. That was the jewel in our crown. so many other countries couldn't get that right. And when you can't get that right, it's very hard to have governance. And we did it. And this one guy broke it. And the craven people in his party went along with it because they like to keep their jobs and their corner offices and the good table at the restaurant or whatever other reason they're being bribed to stand behind someone who plainly lost an election. I'm amazed at all the people who think that Donald Trump is so macho and so manly. If you're so manly, be a man and admit you lost. That's what people do. You don't win them all, sometimes you lose. And when you lose, just say, okay, I lost. We'll try again. But not this guy. And this is coming from other Republicans.
Sure.
I mean, the reason why we know he lost is because Republicans, good conservative people, just people of honor, stood up to him in all these states where he tried to steal the election and said, no, I'm sorry, I voted for you, I wanted you to win, but we counted the votes. It was one of the best elections we've ever run. Fair, obvious, clean. They looked at it many times. Doesn't matter. He will still pretend that he won this election. That's what I'm surprised that that has gotten so far.
We're talking with Bill Maher from HBO's Real Time.
Maher, not Maher.
Bill Maher.
Yes.
What did I say?
You keep saying Maher.
I apologize. Bill Maher.
That's all right.
You know, I'm from Detroit. What do you, I mean, you know, I'm in South Carolina and
I know,
I'm from Detroit.
I've been on TV for 30 years.
I get that, but I can't figure out, you know, if I'm supposed to talk like a Southerner and say Detroit or say Detroit. I mean, they, you know, do you like grits?
Oh,
I mean, I don't know.
You're a carpetbagger.
I'm one of those. I'm definitely one of those. Anyway, let me ask you this, Bill. From the you're emperor. I'm making you emperor for the day. What are you starting with? What, I mean, there's a lot broken, but I still tell everybody that this country is still phenomenal, and it's not as broken as some people think. But where would you start? What do you think is most broken?
Well, first of all, you're right about that. I mean, America came through the pandemic better than any other country. I mean, we somehow spent $6 trillion, which I think is preposterous, so that we could stay home and hide from the forever flu. We spent $4 trillion on World War II. Defeating Hitler and Tojo and Mussolini, and somehow this cost more, and yet somehow the economy didn't crash. Somehow we're doing better than ever. Now, of course, there's lots of problems in this country. We do, you know, I think the environment is still something that alarms me, and I certainly think the threat to democracy is the thing that worries me the most. And we do have income inequality, and we have lots of stuff. Look, the problem is we have both sides can make you go, look, I don't love this other guy, but I just can't vote for you. I get it. Look, I don't like Trump, and I know a lot of conservatives who say to me, what you liberals don't get about Trump is we don't like him either. It's just that your crazy is so nutty that he's the only thing that stands between us and that kind of crazy, and so they're voting for him. I actually get that. I wouldn't do it, but I get it. So I think what my act, what my stand-up act, besides laughing your ass off, is there for is it's the people, and it's I think it's the majority in this country, who want a sensible, they just don't want crazy stuff. Even Obama said that a few years ago. He said, Americans don't want to rewrite human history. They don't want to rewrite what a human being is. They just don't want to see crazy stuff. And I think if we could find some people who have felt the same way, I mean, you ask me, do I like Biden? He's okay, but he never stands up to the crazy in his own party. That's what I like about him least. I think he's like, you know, one of those husbands who, you know, the
wife says, capable at this point of standing up?
Well, apparently not. He does. I think he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand all the stuff that they're doing with transgender. He just like, you know what? Whatever the kids are doing, I don't get it, but I don't want to fight about it. So
you got to throw a malarkey in or something at that point.
Yeah, he knows it's malarkey, but he cannot get it within himself to fight where the energy is in that party, which is very often on the far left. The problem with the Democrats now is that there's a small group who believes their nonsense and a very large group who won't stand up to them. And that's Biden.
So you've interviewed Biden in the past. You've interviewed Obama. You've interviewed really a ton of politicians, other elected officials. You've interviewed great entertainers. Who haven't you interviewed that's the big fish that you wish you could get? alive or dead?
Oh, well, I'd like to interview Jesus and Hitler, but, you know, they're not going to show up. But I can't even get a lot of the people who are alive because, you know, people are afraid of me. I understand why, because if you BS me, I will call you out on that. I mean, I was very supportive of the Obama presidency and Obama as a person and as a leader. Again, did I love everything? No, but I thought he did an amazing job considering what he was working with and the achievement of just becoming the first black president in the United States. Kind of amazing. And yet it took me 8 years of begging and finally a petition to get him to come on my show. So it's just not easy to get people to come on who feel like, oh, this guy is not going to just kiss my ass. And I may be many things, and I may have many enemies, but even my enemies would agree I'm not an ass kisser, and I always say what I really believe. And under those conditions, it's hard to get everybody.
The perception, though, is that you've evolved from being straight one side liberal to now I want to make everybody angry, or at least I want to tell everybody what it is, even if it makes the liberals mad. Did you evolve, or have people just seen you differently?
They changed. I didn't change at all. They changed. Yes, you're right. 10 years ago, I wasn't making fun of the left as much because they weren't funny. I'm a comedian. I go where the funny is. If you think 10 years ago, no one was like chasing speakers off of campuses and saying if something was said that you didn't agree with, that it was violence. I mean, 10 years ago, penises meant something in this country. Now it's like you had a boy. Well, let's not be hasty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just so much crazy on the left now that there didn't used to be. My point in my act that I'm trying to make always is that old school liberalism, which I think I represent, is completely different than wokeism. Wokeism is a completely new thing. I mean, liberals, we're always for a colorblind society. Woke people, they have to see race everywhere as the first and most important thing in everything, formerly the position of the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
Liberals are for fixing things. Woke people are for renaming them. I mean, I used to do this show on HBO called Comic Relief. It was to help the homeless.
Sure.
You're not even allowed to say homeless anymore. We called them homeless back then because we didn't want people calling them bums or vagrants,
sure,
or hobos. Now you have to call them people experiencing homelessness. Like that fixes the problem? Well, they're still experiencing it on the sidewalk. Why don't we call them wonderful, well-meaning people who, for no fault of their own, are taking a crap on my driveway? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is.
There's so much ridiculous on the left that, yes, I have a lot more to work with. And as a comedian, I'm going to work with it.
So is that still how you identify number one? I mean, because you've done Real Time. You did Politically Incorrect. I mean, you've written books. You got a podcast now. But when it's all said and done, do you still identify as a stand-up comedian more than anything else?
More than anything else, yes. It's what I started with. It's what I love the most. There's nothing like getting out in front of an audience for 90 minutes and making them laugh their ass off. I mean, it's the purest kind of comedy. Also, you know, when people are paying to see you, those are your real fans, and they want the most true form of you. You know, they're not going to ooh and ah and boo if I go there. I'm going to go there, and that's what they're there to see.
Well, I hope people will go there.
Jump off,
yeah, I was going to say, hope people will go there on Sunday. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, go there. You're going to love it.
I appreciate the time very much. Thank you for joining us.
I appreciate that.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Bill Maher joining us.